Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS. And I'd like to introduce the host of this week's episode. He's the editor of Business West. Here's Joe Bednar.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Business Talk. We have a great show for you today, but first, we have this important message from our sponsor, People's Bank.
Thank you for listening to the Business Talk podcast, sponsored by People's Bank, bringing you the best in business experts, entrepreneurs, and evangelists. Make Business Talk your innovation break for ideas and inspiration. People's Bank, where commercial banking can fuel your growth and make work life easier. Member FDIC, DIF Equal Housing Lender. Bank at peoples.com/business.
Okay, we're back. And as promised, we have a great show for you today. Our guests are Vitek Kruda and Lori Devine Hudson, owners of Gateway City Arts in Holyoke. Happy to have you both here on Business Talk.
Thank you for having us.
So so the story right now is that you'll be selling the Gateway City Arts property on Race Street in Holyoke. And I do want to talk about your transition plans and your vision for what it might be in the future. But first, I'd love to talk about your history there over the past decade plus, because I think that's worth celebrating. How did the two of you come to be involved in this venture, and what was the vision early on?
Well, it started with me looking for a studio. I am professional art restorer and artist, and I worked out of my house, and then the house became too small, even though it was a mansion. And eventually, we started to look for a studio, and a friend of ours told us one day that there's a building on Ray Street that we might want to look at. So we did, and we fell in love with the building immediately, and we started to consider to purchase the building, even though we walked away three times after the various due diligence and research. But to make the long story short, we end up buying the building in 2012 in May. And the first idea was to establish my studio so I could do my restoration work and my artwork. And then Lori was involved in arts in general in the Valley. And so we were thinking about starting art classes. And that was our first incentive to utilize this building. I'll let Lori to continue.
Well, it was for art and community events. Vitek, needed this bigger studio. We never dreamt that we would end up with 32,000 square feet, but it allowed us to do what we've been both interested in, which is learning and teaching and bringing people together. So over the years, it's just evolved into not so much what we originally thought of, but once we got a liquor license, then we realized that we really needed to have food because there aren't that many places in downtown Holyoke for food, and we didn't want people coming here and drinking and driving home. So we evolved into more of answering what the community was asking for. And that's how things just emerged.
So the facility had two buildings. One is a large warehouse that is about 6,000 square feet. And that lends itself to create a performance space with a larger stage. And it's a 500 people capacity space that we develop. Once we start to book some music, it was just kind of natural process to pick that space and add the big bar and build bathrooms. And then we had to connect that space with the larger building. And so we built the connector, which became the commercial kitchen that's behind the walls there. And then a bistro, which became like a centralized way of selling or offering food to all sides, to the theater, to the beer garden, to the concert hall.
I've been impressed over the years at the caliber of music acts you've gotten on a really regular basis. I remember as we're coming out of the pandemic, I saw Julian Baker of Boy Genius there, and that was amazing. And when I look at the concert roster, it just seems that you've been drawing national acts, which is I just think that's something that maybe a lot of people wouldn't expect for a venue like that and in a place like Holyoke. How did you manage to do that throughout the years?
So since we are talking history, the band that is going to play at our celebration party was the first band, Johnny and the Fleshbags, who agreed to play here for us 12 years ago. And it sounded great. It was wonderful. And then we started to work with local promoters, and they know each other, and they started to kind of flock around the space because they were interested in bringing music. So not only we worked with Peter Hamlin, who was from the Parlor Room, but then he brought in John Sanders from DSP, and little by little we started to book music from through several different promoters, and it became so big that we also had these festivals on the street in the summer.
That's right. Yep.
That was the Rubble Bucket Festival, the Dream Picnic, and after like 7 years of doing it, the place really built its reputation as a music venue. And with that, we had to really just develop more of the food, which means it resulted in us building the Judd restaurant also, so we could offer the audience more food. The audience that traveled from as far as New York, Boston, Maine, Vermont, Albany, you know, we have been attracting people from hundreds of miles away for certain concerts.
I think it also was an effect of the Iron Horse and the Calvin not being open.
Mm.
This was a stop between New York and Boston, or Ithaca and New York, or Boston. You know, we have a terrific facility that both the audience and artists love.
That's a good point about the stop. That was a role that the Iron Horse and Calvin always filled, and it seemed like a lot of the smaller venues in the region were picking some of that up for the last few years.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, with that also, we committed to actually high-end technology that is required to actually present touring bands from all over the place. And so we committed to that and invested in a state-of-the-art equipment that makes the place sound really good and professional.
Now, the pandemic really challenged you, and I know you were close to shutting down completely at one point. Tell me about those days and how you were able to keep things going.
They were awful. The night before we closed, we had 700 people we had in the building between the two theaters and the restaurant. We were packed. And the next day, we shut down for, I think it was almost 16 months. Yep. We were able to keep going because we cut way back. Basically, VTech spent that time in the building painting and restoring things here. And we got two PPP loans grants and a restaurant grant. So we did get some outside money to help payroll. We didn't want to lay people off. We weren't sure we would reopen, and we decided that we would give it one more try once people started to come out. But it has been a real struggle, both to get people to work and to attend. And, you know, when you have a business that's completely based on the public being together and there's a pandemic, it's it's challenging, to say the least.
It was rough on businesses like yours and other sectors as well, definitely. Yeah.
Well, also, as far as business, we had 44 people on our payroll. 44 people made this happen and work every single part of it. And suddenly it was just me here for 14 months alone. So, you know, I still had to maintain the building. We still had to heat it. We still have to fix things. And we still have to maintain all the licenses and permits and all these other
insurance. Taxes.
You know, so that kind of depleted all our resources at that time.
We also did a GoFundMe campaign that was terrific.
I remember that, yeah.
It was really inspiring to us, the reaction of the of the community, because clearly we made an impact and clearly people did not want us to close. So that was part of our deciding to try it again until the end of the year and just see if we could make it work.
And then in that moment, John Sanders came. We had a discussion and we were trying to see if it was possible to reopen something. And we agreed for 1 year lease that John would lease the space, the
DSP.
They created sort of offshoot of their organization called Ray Street Life.
Yep.
And Ray Street Life took on that concert hall and basically ran their shows for the year. But it was still not enough to get them going. So a year later, they unfortunately said they can't do it anymore.
You're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. We're talking today with Vitek Kruta and Lori Devine-Hudson, owners of Gateway City Arts. So now the recent announcement that you're going to be selling the property. Tell me a little bit about that and what led to that decision.
Well, I think we got worn out. After 12 years, it just feels difficult to go on. We have a minimal staff now. We're down to, I don't know, a few people to help to do everything. And people, you know, COVID is still with us. And some of the concerts are coming back, but it depends on the community. It depends on the age of the concert goers. It's not that we're out of the woods yet for this. And I think we tried to get some support from the city and that didn't work, from ARPA funds. And we just made the decision that we would like somebody else to come in. Ideally, our hope is somebody's going to show up who loves what we do and loves the vision and wants to continue to create a place for Holyokers and the Valley for art and community and theater. And, you know, we do all sorts of things here, you know, from drag bingo to poetry festivals to live theater and music.
Memorial services, weddings,
yes.
You name it. We have basically banquet hall and we have a commercial kitchen and we offer our own catering. So everything, you are basically talking five businesses under one roof that are run by Lori and I and with minimal staff right now. And anybody who is energetic, I mean, if we were 10 years younger, we would probably still push forward, you know, but it got to the point where we just can't do it. And we don't see enough support to keep doing it.
Is it kind of an emotional decision, a tough decision? And would that be sort of eased a little bit if somebody did come in with a similar vision?
It's definitely heartbreaking. It would be much easier. It would have a healing effect on our broken hearts if this can continue as what we envisioned that. I also believe that Holyoke needs that kind of facility that has this this potential for the community to come and do presentations and meet and fundraisers and all that. For that reason, it worked great, you know. And I don't know what else is there if we don't have this for the city. I'm sure the city will figure it out, and I'm sure that if no one is going to continue this, things are going to go on no matter what. But you know, this is a big thing we built for 12 years. You mentioned that you saw the outreach when we said for the first time that we would close, and we had then the fundraiser. We had 60,000 people responding within next 3 days after we announced that.
Wow.
60,000 people. So this is not just this is already now part of the DNA of the city of Holyoke, and that's going to go away most likely. So
it would seem to me and a lot of other folks that it's important for a city of the size of Holyoke with the vibrancy of Holyoke to have, you know, a place like this that generates art and music and promotes community. So I totally see where you're coming from there.
Yeah. We're hopeful, and yes, it's heartbreaking. You know, every time I come in here and look around, we didn't have the money to hire people to do work for us. We literally built this ourselves with our staff. And, you know, not that I go into the bathroom, but I tiled the wall myself behind the men's urinals. And, you know, it's everywhere we look are our fingerprints. And it's been a labor of love. And very challenging. I fully believe that if COVID hadn't happened, we would not be in this position. We would be dancing with full rooms and art studios and the wood shop in the basement and the ceramic studio. It would be buzzing here. And that's...
I'd forgotten to mention that before, that you did have a lot of other artists in there over the years, right?
Yes.
So
kind of supported them too.
So we had a co-work space on the second floor, and we had a cubicle style studios that they were full with people who were puppeteers and photographers and graphic designers, you name it.
Wig maker.
So that was one part. The other part was that we had in the basement, a woodworking studio where people were also on memberships, building beehives and bass guitars and little furniture. And we had a wood carving classes, and we had a classes for women to learn how to use power tools. You know, it was just buzzing place. And I wanted to say one more thing, that when we finished after 10 years, the restaurant, the Judd restaurant, it was for the first time that we basically finished the entire vision. So for 10 years, we have been juggling between construction and dust everywhere and running a concerts and you know, feeding people. And that was the time where we said, now we are finished. No more dust. 2 months later, we had to close the restaurant, everything for the pandemic.
That was rough.
Yeah.
So tell me about the what you have planned for the rest of the month. I know you have a final concert coming up.
We have a celebration on the... Oops, that's not going to work. We start it over or cut it out.
Yep.
We had a celebration, a wonderful celebration to celebrate 12 years of Gateway City Arts on this past Friday night. And we have drag bingo on the 21st. We have...
Which is also going to be a toy drive and fundraiser.
Yes.
And then we have in several concerts until the end of the year, with also offering a dinner, which is going to be a nice and fancy dinner for anybody who wants to have a good time around New Year's Eve and the day before. And it's Into the Haggis. It's a big band. It's the Irish rock. And then
on the 30th,
this will be the full band in the big hall. And then on the 31st, it will be the same band, but a little bit more intimate, more acoustic version in the Divine Theater. And that's going to be very exciting as well.
Can people get tickets to those things online?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything is on our website, and tickets. You can also reserve seats and for the dinners. It's a prefix dinner.
And the menu's online.
The menu is online, and tickets are online. Everything is on the website, gatewaycityarts.com.
And then after that, what I want to make clear, because there has been confusion, is that after December 31st, we are only going to be booking private events. We're hoping to do parties, dinners, corporate events, anything that that's more predictable. Instead of having the restaurant open to the public, we are just going to be booking private events. We're trying to keep our staff employed. We're going to do that until the building sells. At least that's the plan right now. So we'll book in 3 or 4 month increments so that we know we can guarantee that we will still be here. But we, you know, we're asking for the support of the community again to keep us going until it does sell.
With the hope that it's going to go end up in the hands of someone who can continue the vision or some version of it.
Just to wrap up, kind of on a positive note, how gratifying has the past decade been kind of providing this really unique space and experience for Greater Holyoke?
It has been absolutely amazing experience. It has been also incredible learning experience and meeting a lot of incredible and interesting people. And we are very happy and proud that we were able to have this experience and be part of this kind of project. It's huge. It's also 12 years of our lives every day.
So the same for me. This has been incredibly gratifying. I am a physical therapist by profession, but hadn't practiced in a long time. And I've just learned a whole new world between, well, everything, dealing with people, politics, business, building, art, food, everything. It's been incredible for me. And I am looking forward to hanging out with my grandkids now and having a more of a life. But I would not have traded this for anything. It's been a real joy and just incredible.
And I have to say, we are absolutely grateful to everybody who contributed to this project. There were a lot of people that they came, they helped, they stuck with us for whatever reason. And, you know, and understood the vision and the importance of what we are creating. And we will be extremely grateful for that.
We couldn't have done it otherwise.
Yeah. Like I said, there were 44 people on our payroll before pandemic. And that's just people who worked here. And this numerous contractors, they were here. I mean, these are dozens and dozens of people. They were part of this project. And that was the incredible part as well.
And that's all the time we have today. Thank you, Lori and VTech, for spending a few minutes with me today. And thank you for bringing us Gateway City Arts over the last decade. I and a lot of other folks around here really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And thanks to all of you for tuning into Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. I'm Joe Bednar, the editor of Business West, and we'll see you next time.